Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you from the Sweet James Studios. We're deep behind the orange curtain, safely ensconced here in Orange County from our headquarters. And I'll tell you, there is no wall separating us from L.A. County. And, of course, no wall could separate the power of these airwaves. So we are here. Now, the reason I bring up the wall is because there are some updates on immigration, big updates. And the left and the right, of course, are disagreeing. And I'll tell you something. There is a strong retort coming from the right wing of the Republican Party. And I want to explain that. And give you my thoughts. So I will get to that. Trump is in Davos, Switzerland. Now, Davos is a ski town. It's very bougie. That is what young people say when something is fancy or otherwise upscale. Trump is in Davos, and he is there. And this is an annual conference that happens with the movers and shakers of the world elite, where you have people like Trump and George Soros get together in the same place. Oh. No, those two are not going to end up in the same room. Probably not in an intimate setting, at least. But you are going to have Trump, and Trump is meeting with a number of world leaders, bilateral meetings with folks like Theresa May, Prime Minister of Great Britain, which I understand was marred by Trump manspreading. Now, manspreading, this is when a man sits in a fashion where he spreads his legs. And it is supposedly a sign of dominance. Vulnerability? I don't know what it's supposed to be. So different body language experts today have been talking about different ways. The reason everybody was watching that meeting between Trump and Theresa May from Great Britain is because they've had an icy relationship. The famous special relationship between the United States and Great Britain is frayed because Theresa May is an idiot. That's the primary reason. She's an extremely weak prime minister, so we'll see how things shake out. It's not important. The point is, Trump is at Davos, and he's killing it. People are excited to see him. You had a Benjamin Netanyahu. There's a guy on MSNBC who was trying to chase him down, who was unsuccessful. But in the process, his comment was, hey, I've been coming to this conference for I don't know however many years. And I've seen Netanyahu here, year over year. And I'll tell you, this is the happiest I have ever seen him. It was kind of a throwaway comment. But the takeaway, of course, is that Netanyahu is over the moon excited that President Trump, of course, who finally has an ally in the United States, because the last 8 years, Obama, really marginalized Israel. And with the nuclear deal over in Iran and other missteps in the Middle East, that frankly did a lot to destabilize Israel's position and safety. So Prime Minister Netanyahu, very excited, many allies excited, and everybody's clamoring for a little bit of Trump. And so the media would have you believe that the Trumpster is showing up in Europe in this bougie conference of well-heeled, statesmen, of course, heads of state, also titans of industry, and that among them, he's a schmuck, he's a rube, he's just a dummy, and he's just going to make us, meaning us here in the United States back home, look dumb. That is not happening, and these meetings are all going very well, and he's being warmly received, so that is all good news. The other story, and again, I am going to get to the immigration bit, because there's an amnesty deal in the works, and I know people are upset about it. I will talk about it. But I want to talk here quickly and tell you about the FBI. This scandal right now has been... you've got Mueller up there, you've got Chuck Schumer and different, leadership of the Democratic Party up and complaining about how this scandal, these text messages and that show partiality on the part of these lead investigators, Peter Strzok, and his girlfriend Lisa, how they this is just ginned up by Trump and the Republicans to take attention away from from a legitimate investigation that ought to run its course. And I want to tell you why this matters, and it really has nothing at all to do with Trump. What it has to do with, in my opinion, is a tale of two outcomes. See, this Peter Strzok guy, who was, he's a lawyer, he's working at the FBI Department of Justice doing these interviews in the Clinton investigation email scandal, right? This is with the homebrew server that Hillary Clinton set up to have do her email outside of the government so that her emails could not be recorded and reported as per the requirements of federal code. So anyway, in the process of that investigation, Strzok and his team did numerous interviews. And among them were interviews of two very close aides to Hillary Clinton, to then Secretary Clinton, but also candidate Hillary Clinton. And these aides, if you'll recall the names, you of course remember Huma Abedin, wife of the Wiener. And then the other aide, if you'll recall, is Cheryl Mills. That name was talked about quite a bit during the campaign when this whole thing was a hot news story. Now, Cheryl Mills and Huma both misled the FBI. They lied. They made, materially false statements to the investigators at work. And here is what Strzok did. And it is evidenced in the record of the texts. Strzok let them off. Now, the reason I say it's a tale of two outcomes is because what happened to Michael Flynn? See, when Mike Flynn went to the FBI, and we've learned, by the way, she just came out yesterday. I know we were off, so we couldn't talk about it. Flynn didn't tell Trump that he was being interviewed by the FBI and went there, reportedly, without a lawyer. What a dumb A-money-money. Okay, here's a Sam Nation pro tip. And trust me, I'm a lawyer. And I'm not just saying this because I want your business. I don't do this kind of work. If you get a call from the FBI or any police entity, but especially the feds, because they can, you don't have to be guilty of the crime. If you lie to them, that's a big deal. And there you see, Flynn was charged with a felony. Go with a lawyer. But anyway, so Flynn goes there without a lawyer, doesn't even tell, the Trump administration, anybody inside the White House that he's going there. This is an idiotic move. Nonetheless, you know the result. And the result is he is now charged with felony, has to plead guilty, and bada boom, bada bang. What matters, and you've got to drive this, when you're talking to liberals and they're just seething with Trump hate and they don't want to admit any of this. When you're talking to liberals, you've got to explain to them that this is not an issue of deep state versus Trump. This isn't an issue between elected officials and career officials. This is not an issue of an FBI that we as a whole respect and love and admire and is there for us in case we get into, there's a time of need and our safety is jeopardized. No, this is an issue of equal justice for all. And when you have a politicized agency that is picking its targets based on who they politically like and don't like, that's a problem for all of us. Imagine for a minute, and this will definitely seethe your liberal friends. What you do is you say, look, let's assume that Trump could, with his executive authority over the FBI, over the Department of Justice, fire virtually everybody. What if he did we'll call it a personnel pogrom, just goes through and eliminates anyone and everyone he doesn't like and replaces them with loyal, faithful Trumpists. Now, Trump, whatever, he doesn't get reelected or he serves a second term. And the next guy that comes in is one of your people, a Democrat. And now, maybe even during the course of the election, this Democrat running for office against a Republican is routinely, repeatedly sabotaged, and preference is given to the Republican candidate who might, let's say, have some issues that would potentially, make him ineligible for the office that he seeks. This is a problem. You, of course, if you are a left winger, you wouldn't like that. And I think that when it comes to politics, a lot of this is I don't know if it's, it almost reminds me of like sports teams, you know, and I am not a sports guy, but you know, you get somebody who's just a diehard fan of Team X. And no matter what Team X does, I mean, they are Team X for life. And that's why, by the way, when teams, I don't want to get too far in the sports analogy, but when teams cheat, there's a cheating scandal, let's say, deflated footballs and the like. Do you have hardcore fans of that team ever say, oh, that's, they shouldn't have done that. That is bad on them. And boy, they got to fix that. No, they step in to defend. And that is the way that this ideologically based system of picking, you know, picking targets in criminal cases has evolved and where it's come to. And this is why people don't trust the FBI. This is the very essence of the scandal. And if you are a fair person, I don't care if you're right or left, if you are a fair person, if you believe that Lady Justice has a blindfold, not because she's into, you know, kinky sex games, but because she believes that everyone is equal under the law, then you absolutely must look at the scandal and hold your nose and insist that the FBI be held accountable. So in this sense, when you hear the Democrats up there saying, this is nothing, this is just obfuscation, I'm reading the text messages and I'm saying, look, you've got key people with an obvious bias. They hate Trump, they like Hillary, and they want to do something about it. One of the most, I think, dramatic things that we saw, and it was in a Daily Caller piece today, they were pulling punches because they all thought Hillary would win. Now, I don't know if that sounds familiar, right? How many Democrats do you know that actually thought Hillary would lose? Not very many. So these are a couple of Democrats that thought Hillary would win. They thought Trump was an idiot. And here's a very telling text message. One more thing, Peter Strzok writes. She might be our next president. The last thing you need us going in there loaded for bear. Now, loaded for bear means, you know, go in there hot, go in there strong, go in there. We got to use, you hear what they're saying? We got to use kid gloves. You think she's going to remember or care that it was more DOJ than FBI? Now, I love that admission because they already know who Hillary is. They support her, but they also know that she is the kind of person who, in her vindictiveness, will go after people that she perceives are enemies. They fear Hillary a lot more than they fear Trump. And part of that is because they know that they think that Hillary's going to get elected. Now, the response is from Lisa is, I agreed. I called Bill and relayed what we discussed. He agrees. I will email you and do the same. So actually, that's blocked out. I don't know. Something same. Oh, maybe it's a name there that's blocked out. At any rate. And this type of back and forth, these type of communications go to the heart of what their mens rea was. And this is a legal term. It's Latin. And it means what their state of mind, what they were thinking, what their motives were. And you begin to realize, and this is Peter Strzok, the guy who redrafted the statement that was read by then FBI Director Comey, which exonerated Hillary Clinton and changed that standard from gross negligence to extremely careless. And that's an important legal distinction because extremely careless is nowhere in the criminal code, while, of course, the gross negligence standard is. And any lawyer worth his salt you talk to about that will admit that there's what the hell is extremely careless? In law, words matter. And they're very specifically used nonsense words that had no place in the legal code to get her off. And their thinking behind it is laid bare in these text messages. So good news. The Inspector General of the Department of Justice, he is hot on the trail. And he has revealed today that the 10,000 missing text messages or more. But anyway, the messages that were missing for those that 6 month period between this Strzok guy and others have been found. They supposedly have been found. Now, this is interesting. If you've got this little conspiracy here among these two, And if you have some hints at and they're calling it a secret society within the FBI, I wonder if we find out later that these text messages were hidden on purpose. It wasn't just a Samsung update error. So this will all be very interesting in how it plays out. But the takeaway is, if you want if you want equal justice under the law, which everyone I think is not a political or partisan position, then this is absolutely unacceptable. Okay. Well, of course. But who doesn't agree with this? I'll tell you who. MSNBC, Joe Scarborough. I have got some comedy for you up next. Don't go anywhere. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So as I was letting you know that in these text messages between Peter Strzok and his colleague, it becomes clear that a different standard was applied to the Hillary Clinton investigation than, for example, the Trump-Russia investigation. Now, this is critical because Strzok worked on both. And he was one of the people that interviewed... Who? Well, Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn ended up lying, was charged with a felony, pleaded guilty. Now, this is all important because we should all be equal under the law. And the investigation, for example, into the Hillary Clinton aides, Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, they were both let off. They both lied to Strzok's team and were let off. Obvious political bias at work. Now, this is so important because there's a talking point out there and it goes something like this. Well, I'm not even characterize it for you. First, I'm going to play you bits and pieces of it because a good representative example of it was found today on Morning Joe. And this is the first part of Joe Scarborough's explanation for why we can't be questioning the FBI. You can't question the FBI. They're the good guys. Listen to this.
There are FBI agents that are going around. They're trying to get intel. They're trying to get information. They're trying to break apart terror networks of homegrown terrorists that want to blow up your church, that want to blow up your synagogue, that want to kill you or your family or other people in your community. And it is these FBI agents who stand between you, me, all of us, and future terror attacks, either by members of ISIS that infiltrate this country or by homegrown terrorists.
Yeah, and now this is, of course, a stupid argument because, look, we get it. We're not talking about the entire FBI. We're talking about bad eggs within the FBI. And I would say, more importantly, some bad leadership in the Bureau. This is not... Does anybody read this as a condemnation of the entire Bureau of Investigation? No. But let me ask you this. If you are that hardworking FBI agent working a terror case, you know, and we're on the brink, you know, none of us know this, you know, we think everything's fine, but... You know, and you're thwarting an attack that we have no idea is happening, and you're doing your work, and you're nights away from your family, okay? Do you think it helps to see these text messages revealed? What do you think? And you're a law and order guy. You're a law and order girl. You work for the FBI because you're a government agent, and you're here to protect all Americans, not just Democrats or Republicans. You know, this kind of thing, you want to talk about what's damaging to morale in a business, it's not Trump tweeting about it. That's not what's damaging morale. It's these revelations. And by the way, government agencies, and I know this because as a consumer attorney, as a personal injury lawyer, one of the things that I do is hold government agencies accountable, hold businesses accountable on behalf of the public and on behalf of consumers. And I will tell you right now that an FBI that is being held accountable is far better than one that is not. Now, I will tell you, this is what This is just great. So Scarborough goes on to say that when these conspiracy theories are spread for political reasons and protect the president, it's not worth your protection, your lives, you're only making it more difficult, blah, blah, blah. And then there's this one delightful little ending about what role the media plays in all of this.
If Mueller overreaches, we will be the first to say so. The press will be the first to say so. Just stop with your conspiracy theories, because you are making America less safe.
Hope it's worth it to you.
Oh, yes, I hope it's worth it to you. Shut up. These two. We're going to trust the media? The media's going to be in there. The media's going to look out for Trump. And if Mueller overreaches, come, give me a break. We just learned today. You saw that picture of Louis Farrakhan and Louis Farrakhan is a Nation of Islam leader embracing Obama, and a report journalist sat on it both election cycles. So he didn't want anything damaging to come out for Obama, protect his guy. Come on. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. We got John Wolf up next with the news. Back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. And I have just got so excited with everything going on. 800-222-5222 is the phone number that I neglected to give you earlier. Sam@samnation.com is my email. And I will tell you one thing before we get to immigration. Even Republicans don't get it. And I suspect this is because there is this reticence, there's this a measure of political correctness in politics where you don't criticize government agencies. And it mystifies me, by the way, that this is something that's been adopted by the left, because the left traditionally in the country has criticized government, has been anti-government. And this trend goes back, starting with the Vietnam War, where the establishment was questioned, was criticized by a left-wing counterculture movement. And so here I have, this is great, GOP Chair Michael Steele telling all of us on MSNBC, of course, that Americans are going to regret questioning the FBI.
Going back to where Republicans are standing on this, they're going to rue the day of going down this road and having this institution come apart and sullied and have the kind of morale problems that could be long lasting down the road. And then who are they going to look to? And then what happens in the next administration comes in, Republican or Democrat? You've now have this seabed of suspicion about these institutions, CIA, FBI, Justice Department. What is the end game here? That's the question I have for the Republicans. What is the end game?
What's the end game? Think the FBI is going to come apart? Let me ask you, what kind of an organization comes apart as a result of a little bit of healthy daylight? What kind of institution stays together when tremendous and illegal abuses are going on within it? You know, we are actually I thought that lawmakers were almost entirely unified on the subject of whistleblowers, for example, whistleblower protections. The concept that daylight, if used appropriately and if properly, I will say also properly investigated, can result in reforms that meaningfully protect all of our rights and our constitutional freedoms. You know, I think now it's becoming this thing that happened a long time ago, McCarthyism, the Red Scare. When I was growing up in the 80s, the Red Scare really wasn't that long ago. I still very well remember when the Iron Curtain was up and the Soviet Empire was real. And it was even in that context, in a polarized world, that we were able to look critically at the McCarthy era and recognize that it was an abuse of government power and authority, that people were wrongly condemned, wrongly discredited, lives were ruined for mere political expediency, okay, and political opportunism even. This, from Michael Steele, a former GOP chair, is absolute drivel. Now, Trey Gowdy, who is a very enterprising congressman, very independently minded, he is all about this. He's investigating this on his committee. And this is him talking with Tucker Carlson on Fox News today, characterizing the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page texts. And it's this goes back to what I was saying earlier about Hillary. Listen to this.
If you read all the text, it's clear that they did not want her charged. They wanted her to be the president of the United States. They really, really didn't want Donald Trump to be the president of the United States. And they concede throughout these texts that they did things differently in this investigation from any other investigation that they were part of.
That's the key. And by the way, these are not peons. These are not low-level people. These are not, you know, grumblers in the mailroom or rank-and-file, you know, FBI agents. These are high-ranking people. These are decision-makers. And these are the people that lied. They shouldn't have a job. And honestly, all due respect to Michael Steele, a little bit of daylight here is going to go a long way. All right, immigration next. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here for my friend, my lawyer, my champion, the defender of my rights, sweet James Bergner. This is the attorney to call if you've been in an accident, if you've been hurt, if you have been, I don't know, rear-ended by a car or trampled by an elephant at the San Diego Zoo. I'm not naming the San Diego Zoo on purpose, but I'm just saying, if you went to the zoo, you got trampled, call Sweet James. Him and his firm will take care of you, will protect you, will make sure that you're not a victim twice, okay? First, by whatever happened to you, and then second, by the insurance company or whatever mean people representing the elephant not wanting to pay you. This can happen. They have lawyers, they've got adjusters, they've got people who know what they're doing, and they're all trying to bamboozle you, trust me, okay? So get somebody in your corner who knows the law and will fight for you. It's that simple. Phone number is super easy. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. And this is the number that you call. Consultation is free. It's confidential. You can call 24/7. And remember, you won't owe any money up front. None at all. Okay? It's all at the end if and when there is a settlement or verdict. So give James and his team a call, 800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, here we go. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, the big smoking gun is this leaked document. I have it in my hands. I have it in my beautiful, unmanicured, manly fingers. Can you hear it? One piece of paper, and it's strikingly, in my view, strikingly simple. It is written so every idiot in Congress can read it and make a determination. And what it is a proposal by the White House for a deal on immigration. Now, if you are looking at Breitbart News or you're looking at any of the, you know, conservative sites, for the most part, this is being considered, this is being called an enormous capitulation. And I know because I've heard from many of you, I know that my faithful Samsonites are concerned about any amnesty. And my friends, I am with you. I am with you on this 100%, but you must hear me out. For me, the most important thing when it comes to anything related to immigration is that damn wall. Without the wall, the problem only gets worse. Yes, we have right now a Border Patrol agency, and I love how the left complains about morale at the FBI. Meanwhile, Morale at the Border Patrol is up. Customs and Border Patrol, I mean, they're record numbers, right? Because under Obama, it was just not doing anything. So anyway, so they're very excited. They've got a guy that's supporting them in the White House. And they are running around and trying to round up as many criminal aliens as they possibly can. But they're, for every one that they pick up, there's 100 that run across the border. If you don't secure, securing the border, we have to agree on this. This is not a, we don't want to be emotional. We leave that to our friends on the left. Logic will have it that the wall is the number one issue. And it is also the number one issue, not just in fact or in reality, but it also is the number one political issue. If Trump doesn't get his wall because of, well, we'll call it Democratic obstruction in Congress, but also that obstruction is coming from House and Senate Republicans. If he doesn't get his wall because of congressional obstruction, what will we have as the number one issue in the 2020 race? Hey, see, Trump was all talk and all smoke. It was never going to happen. There's no chance he was ever going to get a wall. It never was going to really happen. See, he bamboozled you. Trump lied. And they're going to replay every one of his rally speeches where he promises a wall. It's going to be big. It's going to be beautiful. And you remember the spiel. So Trump needs the wall politically. But I'm also telling you practically, as a country, if we are to stop or significantly deter immigration, unlawful immigration across our southern border, there has to be a wall. Now, this deal here, and when I come back, I'll explain it to you. And I know this may even, we may even spill this out into the 8 o'clock hour. So this may, you know, put your thinking hats on. And let's approach this. I will give you the facts, as I always do, and then you make up your minds. You can call me and tell me that this is terrible and amnesty and that you hate Trump for it. But I will let you know what I think of it first. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And, of course, looking at this White House framework on immigration reform and border security, I know that's a mouthful, but that is the title of this document that has been leaked out. I am holding it here. There are four parts to it. And this thing was compiled by the White House as an opening shot or opening offer to Senate Democrats. Now, the first issue deals with border security, securing the southern and northern border. And it talks about $25 billion put in a trust fund. And that's basically government speak for making sure it's in a dedicated account that cannot be touched for anything else that funds a border wall system. Then it also funds other it talks about closing other gaps and shortcomings that ICE and Border Patrol have, deterring visa overstays, talks about some drug issues. But the $25 billion, the way I read it, is that it's a separate line item for just the border wall. Okay, I like it. The second step, first comes the pimp slap, right? I want $25 billion for the wall. Now let me offer you, after I've just beaten you with a stick, I'm going to offer you a carrot. I'm just picturing talking to Chuck Schumer. You know, here's the carrot. DACA legalization. And what has everybody up in arms is that this is not just providing a legal status for DACA recipients, but also for all DACA-eligible illegal immigrants. And the difference there is so far the argument has only been about people. Look at all these people. They applied for DACA protection. You know, Obama set up this exception to federal law. He gave them websites and formula, you know, paperwork to fill out that they could get DACA protection. Now you're taking it away. But here, Trump is saying not only do they get to stay, but anybody who under the DACA framework would be eligible for protection would also get to stay, provided they register and fulfill requirements. Now, it's a 10 to 12 year path to citizenship. There's a requirement for work, education, good moral character. All right. Now, it also ends chain migration. That's another issue here. And eliminating the lottery. That's the final point. So this is the document. This is an opening salvo. Now, for a lot of my friends on the right, they are looking at this as an absolute and total complete capitulation. They see this idea of, and the estimate is about 1.8 million, according to this document. That's the number that everybody seems to be reporting, that allowing amnesty for DACA recipients is huge. Now, I always say, remember, when you're talking to people, when you're reading something, read not just what is there. Listen not to just what is being said. Listen to what is not said. Listen or read for what is not written. And I'm going to explain that when we come back, because I want to take some time with this. I want you to understand that beyond the shrill histrionics that I think a lot of other conservatives right now are shrieking about. I think there's more to it than this. So stay tuned. We got John Wolf up next with the news, and I will be back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. It is Thursday night. This has been the longest week ever. I don't know how you feel, but it has been for me. And so Friday is just around the corner, and we are here tomorrow night, which is great. So yes, two nights straight of Sam Nation uninterrupted by sports programming. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the number. We're coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. And I was just getting warmed up. If you missed it, last hour talking about border security and the wall and this deal that has been proposed by the Trump administration to Congress. Now, this is an opening proposal. And in this document, I mentioned that it talks about the wall, $25 billion for the wall. But on the flip side of it, it offers legal status to not just DACA recipients, people who have filled out the paperwork and have applied, but also to anybody who is DACA eligible. Okay. And that is approximately, according to the proposal, estimated to be about 1.8 million people. Now, this has people up in arms, especially on the left and on the right, excuse me, because they see this as amnesty. Now, I'll tell you, I see DACA legalization. And I just said earlier at the end of the last segment, I said, look, always read for what's not written. Listen for what's not said. And what isn't written here is amnesty for anyone else. There's no general amnesty here for illegals the way that, I mean, hell's bells. I mean, Republicans have caved on this issue going back to Reagan and beyond. General amnesties have come and gone and then repeated themselves squarely because there's more immigrants come over and the problem doesn't go away. You clear out a backlog, but because you don't have a very porous border in the South, you continue to import more of the problem that the amnesty was supposed to take care of. And so having to have to offer additional subsequent amnesties. This is like bailouts, by the way. Government is very good at this. It's called passing along the buck. Now, so this said, I am looking at this proposal, and there is no general amnesty. To call Trump amnesty done, like Breitbart was doing about an hour ago or so, is a little cheap. The Democrats want a deal on DACA. He's giving them a deal on DACA. And as with the government shutdown, Trump's, in my opinion, his proposal here is extremely fair. It's extremely generous. And it is an olive branch. And this is how you do deals. You don't just... I know they say you're supposed to negotiate, you know, incrementally, and there's different schools of thought on negotiations. But this isn't a negotiation over a settlement or a business deal in raw dollars. You're dealing with emotionally disturbed people, the Democrats. I mean, you got to be careful. You got to give them something to nibble on. Chuck Schumer's got, they're out for a scalp. Well, granted, not a lot of hair up top, but they're out for a scalp, the left is, because he gave up the ghost and the government shutdown. Remember, Schumer was supposed to walk away from the government shutdown with DACA. That is what the left wanted. And you're forgetting he got nada and walked away with his tail tucked between his legs, thanks to Trump and honestly, thanks to Senate Republicans holding firm. Now, so that said, how do you get Democrats back to the table? Well, you got to give them something. I know I would love to tell you that when it comes to government, you win an election, you get everything you want. Trump cannot possibly get everything you want because the Senate and even the House, I mean, the margins are just not there. Certainly not in the Senate. You might be plus a couple votes in the Senate, but those are not Trump loyalist Republicans. Well, many of these Republicans in the Senate are more anti-Trump than some Democrats. So all this said is, to me, I see this as a little bit of bait. Because what does this potentially set up the Democrats to do? It sets the Democrats up to reject it. And this is always a dangerous and pivotal moment in any negotiation. You want to be very careful about rejecting a good deal. And what makes a good deal, I honestly think what makes a good deal, it depends on, it's a subjective thing, but I think what will matter here is what the perception generally is of this deal. And in this sense, right, if the deal looks good and if fair to people, Trump's given something up, big amnesty, okay, but he gets his border wall. When they see a fair deal coming out, it builds credibility. And this credibility, if credibility is a zero sum game, but if credibility were a finite pie, then Trump's gain in credibility will be the Democrats to lose by rejecting it. Does that make sense? And actually, moreover, I think it helps Trump that you have his, you know, we'll call him, you know, Make America Great Trumpists looking at this and screaming and shouting that this is terrible and Trump has abandoned them. The deal, and this is, by the way, this is a very good point here. Imagine that the Democrats turn this deal down. What now happens to all the activists, the liberal base that have been clamoring for help and assistance for DACA recipients? Now, they'd be pissed. You turned down a deal. What are you guys doing? What are you smoking? Turning down a deal of this type becomes unreasonable. Okay? Now, another very important point here. And just, you know, bear with me on this. You look at this right now, and you look at this wall. Yeah, all right. The Democrats, if they reject this thing, Well, they lose some political traction. But I also think that this is a deal that can be embraced by this is not just a deal that is out there for Senate Democrats who are listening to their grassroots, you know, liberal crazies out there who are marching every Saturday with pink hats on. This is a deal that can be acceptable to those middle of the road, terrible rhino Republicans. This is the type of deal that is appealing to a Susan Collins of Maine. This is the type of deal that potentially can woo Mr. Flake. Or possibly, well, no, I don't think for a minute that McCain's going to vote for anything with Trump. If Trump's bad, he's not going to go for it. But you get my point. The target here aren't just Democrats. The target here are Republicans that are not necessarily pro-Trump. And I see this as a kind of a very clever step. And for all of you, I know, and I'm going to get pushback. I know I'm going to get pushback from you. And if you want to reach out, please do, because I'm going to tell you. I guarantee you that the person who wrote this inside the people that put this together are Trump's immigration team is very hawkish. So from Jeff Sessions, the entire team, everybody that is on this issue right now is very hawkish. So I think that there are people that are behind this. Have given it a lot of thought. This is not knee-jerk. And when the Democrats left the table after the budget deal, when they lost, Chuck Schumer took his toys and went home and said, "That's it, the wall deal is off." Do you remember, by the way, how much was being offered for the wall at that point? Do you remember? It's like $5 billion. That's peanuts compared to 25. And I really do think I've seen people say that it could be built for about 15. So I think there is give and take built into this bill, into this proposal, excuse me. But remember, this is not done and over. This is not the final thing. It's being made out in the news as if this is a fait accompli and it's done and over with. And it's not. Now, Breitbart is characterizing this framework amnesty plan that would provide citizenship to at least 1.8 million illegals as a capitulation to big business. And big business, of course, wants as many people here that are willing to provide cheap labor. Big business very concerned about rising labor costs. And that may be true, but this is a pathway here. This is a 10 to 12 years path to citizenship. Requirements for work, I get it. But again, this is about stopping the flow. And the wall, if the wall is part of the deal, this is the critical thing. If the wall is part of the deal, this is a good deal. And I'm willing to see how it plays out. But I think I think the Democrats are stupid. Can I give you a good example why I think the Democratic Party messaging is lost right now? It's not even on the topic of immigration. So hear me out on this. Have you seen today there was Nancy Pelosi was back talking about her mousetrap? She's had this spiel now for months talking about the Republican tax cut for the rich and how it is nothing more than a little bit of crumbs for the middle class. Now, you'll recall that a number of very prominent companies are out there giving big bonuses back to their employees, to their rank and file workers, as a consequence of tax relief that's coming up. And it's been making the news, and the Democrats, of course, are busy out there poo-pooing it. And I'm going to explain to you, this is why I have very little faith that the Democrats are going to do the right thing and message this correctly on immigration, because they are so tone deaf on other topics, i.e. tax cuts. Do you know how stupid Nancy Pelosi sounds? as a multimillionaire living in one of the most exclusive neighborhoods in the country. It's Pacific Heights, San Francisco. I think she has, I don't want to exaggerate here, but Pacific Heights is one of these places that if you don't have $10 million, forget it. You ain't living there. So for us normal people, this is not even, I mean, hell, just forget it. You're not there. So Nancy Pelosi, woman of the people, Democrat, champion of the poor and downtrodden, in all of her public pronouncements, keeps talking about how these $1,000 cash bonuses that employees are getting from their companies are nothing more than crumbs. Now, the audio from today sucked, which is why producer Robbie faithfully and valiantly went back and found comments earlier this month that she had made. And this is, again, Nancy Pelosi, net worth $196 million, January 11th, talking about breadcrumbs for the middle class. And right after this, I'm going to tell you why this is insane.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on is so pathetic. It's so pathetic. And I would hope that with their big advantage of bringing money home at a very low rate, that they would invest in infrastructure and things. But the experience has been that they will do dividends, they will do stock buybacks and things like that. I think it's insignificant.
I recognize that I live a privileged life. Now, I don't feel guilty about it because I worked really hard to get where I am, and I'm proud of my success. So I'm just going to say this as simply as I possibly can. I remember being very middle class. I remember making not enough money to pay my bills. I remember not being able to pay some bills on some months. I remember all of this. And I'm going to tell you that $1,000 back when that was happening to me was not an insignificant crumb of money. This is the Democratic Party that has completely come unglued, detached from reality. These are the champions of the poor. Yes, to Nancy Pelosi, $1,000 is literally toilet paper money. I get it. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So in talking about this supposed Trump amnesty by offering a pathway to citizenship for approximately 1.8 million DACA recipients and DACA-eligible illegal immigrants, the right wing of the Republican Party is going berserk. And it'll be interesting to hear from people that I respect as I call around and talk, do more investigating of this tomorrow. It'll be interesting to hear what other people have to say. I sometimes here on this program will react to things before they do. And that's because I have this advantage. News breaks. It's 7 p.m. here in the West, and we can do a wrap up before anybody gets started. Great advantage. But I will tell you this, my raw take on this is he's giving the Democrats enough rope to hang themselves on because it's a really good deal. If Schumer and the Democrats could have gotten this the last go around, right, with the whole government shutdown thing where they insisted on protecting DACA recipients. And Trump said to them, I'm fine with this, but you got to give me the wall. This is good negotiating, and I think it's a trade-off that makes sense. But I also think it's just enough rope for Democrats to hang themselves on because they think that this wall. I genuinely think, I'm not Chuck Schumer, but I genuinely think that the Democratic Party base thinks that this wall is racist. The wall is so offensive and so horrible. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've heard it. Was it the 7 o'clock news? John Wolf was talking about they might as well put a statue of a middle finger on the border because it would be as effective and as offensive to our friends in Latin America. So this is how the Democratic Party thinks. So I think that they might actually reject this or try to go back on this. And it puts them in an uncomfortable position then. Because why does Congress consistently have low marks? Why is Congress hated? Well, I say, but when you look at these popularity polls that are done, why are approval ratings for Congress lower than for the presidency? Traditionally, this is consistent. The perception is that Congress is do nothing, that Congress is gridlock, that Congress is partisanship. And these are all words that the American public does not like. So we got a president who says, here, right here, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to hand you 1.8 million illegals on a silver platter. Bon appetit. Or is it bon apple tea? Trying to figure who. No, I'm Sam Rejofsky, not Saul, not Better Call Saul. At any rate, it's on a silver platter. And if they reject it, how obstructionist do they look? If Schumer gets up there tomorrow and poo-poos this thing as being the most ridiculous thing on the web, this is just offensive and there's no way we're going to be where the wall is a non-starter. Okay. And by the way, $25 billion in the grand scope of the federal budget is nothing. When you consider, this is a very unpopular thought, because of course illegal immigrants are all contributors to society. It's very difficult for people to understand that many are not. $25 billion in the cost of just social services across our federal and state budgets every year. Spent on services for illegal immigrants. $25 billion for a wall is a drop in the bucket. It is nothing. So, yes, I know we've got some callers. I'm going to get to them. But this all needs to be really finely parsed out. And one of the things I really like to do here on the show is see to it that in advance of tomorrow's news cycle, you understand what the issues are. You understand where potentially this thing is going. I don't always have a crystal ball, but today I want to map out some potential roads here and potential directions. But if the Democratic Party is busy dismissing $1,000 for a working class family as being peanuts, they've just lost touch with reality, and they'll dismiss amnesty for 1.8 million illegals too, and they will look very obstructionistic. Not good for Congress, and certainly not good for the Democrats come 2018 midterms, because they want to get their base out. Their base wants results. All right, we got John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Call now. Call me if you're interested.
What's your phone number?
800-ABC-KABC.
Ask for the phone number, not the phone letters.
That's 800-222-5222.
Thank you.
Well, here is a news flash. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Conservative Heritage Foundation rates Trump's first year better than Reagan's. And this is just funny because, all of you never Trumpers in the conservative movement, and you know who you are, Mr. Crystal, and every schmo on the National Review, you dummies. You are the type of people that would foolishly cut your nose to spite your face. You may not like Trump. He may not be one of you. He may be a vulgarian. But you know what he is? He is producing conservative policy that if it were anybody else, you would be celebrating it. You guys are hypocrites and losers, sore losers. I'm going to add that. So anyway, the Never Trump movement I'm not saying criticism of Trump. There's plenty of criticisms. I may talk a little bit tomorrow about this, some of this tax on free trade. I do have some concerns about it. Oh, Tony hung up. That's too bad. We had a caller who wanted to talk about the 14th Amendment, and I don't know where he was going with it, because that's why I wanted to take it, because this is a favorite topic of our friends on the left. They want to talk about the 14th Amendment and implying that it guarantees citizenship rights. Now, the 14th Amendment has several parts to it, but the part that everybody is referring to is the equal protection of citizens and non-citizens. But the 14th Amendment does not guarantee citizenship to anyone. It guarantees due process, so we certainly can't round up illegals and shoot them in the back. But, you know, I don't know if I'm missing something, or maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't watch the news enough, or I'm ill-informed. But if somebody wants to call me and tell me that the due process, right, there are procedures and protocols that apply to citizens and non-citizens alike, that due process has to be followed. I know. There was a video. You saw the video of the woman being hauled off the Greyhound bus, and the passengers in the bus were appalled that ICE would storm the bus and check people's papers. Only problem is it's along a major route where a lot of illegals pass through, and this woman was picked up and arrested. Not a violation of any due process rights. She has the same rights under the Constitution that you and I have if we're citizens. But the difference is, well, there's no difference, but the relevant issue here is she's breaking the freaking law. It's that simple. This is a law-breaking issue. So I always like to say is, okay, you think that you've heard somewhere, you've read it, that the 14th Amendment gives protection. It's equal protection. You can't discriminate. And this is not what it is, because you are. It's like jaywalking. You know, I mean, it's against the law. And just because you might want to scream racism if you are not white and you get charged with jaywalking, it doesn't make you any less guilty of it if you committed the act. And the same is true with being an illegal. And illegals are not just I'm going to get excoriated for this, but not people of color. You know, there are so many Europeans here, Eastern Europeans in particular, some of my people from the Czech Republic, who overstay their visas. Very common tactic, the 3-month tourist visa, they come in, and they stay. Hey, they get arrested just the same way as somebody from Jalisco gets hauled away. It's the same thing. So anyway. By the way, this woman was not from Latin America that was hauled off the Greyhound bus. She was from some Caribbean country. I want to say maybe Haiti, or it was a Caribbean country. And she had overstayed her visa. It's a classic example. There you go. Speaking of the Czech Republic, I have to tell you a story about a police dog that I met. No, seriously. I met a police dog, city of Newport Beach. I got to get the car from the car. This is hilarious. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live. On Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here for my friend, my attorney, my champion, the defender of my rights, Sweet James Bergner. Him and his team, these are good people, and they will take care of you in your time of need. When you get into an accident, you get hurt. People don't realize is what comes after that's important, really important, hugely important. You want to make sure that you're taken care of, that you are what? That you've got somebody in your corner, that you're not just doing this by yourself against a giant machine. Make sure your rights are protected. Make sure you have somebody fighting for you. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. This is the number to reach the Sweet James team. There are people there that will answer your phone calls 24/7. All consultations are free. All consultations are confidential. And you're not charged anything until your case resolves and there's money on the table. So, easy. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I went to my kids, my son's scouting activity, Boy Scouts, on Tuesday night. And it's at a local church in where I live. And actually it's in the town. I live in Irvine, but this was in Newport Beach. And so because it's actually a friend of mine who works for the Newport Beach Police Department was able to organize a site visit by a number of fantastic Newport Beach police officers. And they came out and they showed the kids. It was not just the boys, a lot of sisters, siblings, older, younger. It was a great thing. Like, a lot of people came out. It was fun. A little cold outside, but fun. They had the SWAT vehicle. They had the mobile unit. They had some rifles for the kids. Loved that. Boys were all about that. And then also, there was Officer Wilson came with his police dog. And this police dog, this police canine in Newport, his name is Kajo. Now, I'm going to tell you what's hilarious. So the officer's talking, and he says, yeah, this dog, you know, police dogs come mostly from Europe. And I didn't realize this, but do you know why? Apparently, the breeding standards are a lot more strict in Europe. And as he's talking, I'm like, oh, I know the Czech Republic does a lot of breeding of these type of police and military dogs. Sure enough, the next words out of his mouth were, the dog is from the Czech Republic. Which is, you know, where my parents are from, the language I speak, and country I love. And so I'm, you know, my ears perk up. You could even say that I alerted, which is, I think, a canine police dog term. I alerted. And as he's talking, he says, yes, you know, it's really interesting because I had to learn a series of Czech words for the commands for this dog. And I immediately thought to myself, well, winner, winner, chicken dinner. If I have this dog come at me anytime, if I am out on a, I don't know, if I have a bad reaction to some prescription medication, well, I guess that's what all the celebrities are doing, right? He was found wandering the streets. We don't know what happened. It was prescription medication. This dog comes at me, if I'm quick thinking, you know, I could very quickly tell him to lay down and check. Laying you. Or perhaps I could tell him to sit. Sitting you. And so, you guys are going to laugh. Are you making fun of me? Well, what I did, I got close to the dog. And I said, you know, segni, you know, which means sit. And I was so disappointed. The dog did absolutely nothing. Because as it turns out, the dog doesn't speak real Czech anymore. The dog speaks bastardized Czech. It's Chinglish or whatever they call it. You know, Officer Wilson, you were great, but your Czech is terrible. And so this poor dog has totally lost his native tongue. That's what happens when you lose your culture, people. Doesn't just happen to animals. It also happens to dogs. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Now, this story here is from USA Today, not The Onion. And since we were talking about animals and the police dog Kajo that I met this week at the in Newport, Newport Beach police dog who speaks Czech, I will tell you about the story from Saudi Arabia. Now, again, I stress this is from USA Today and not The Onion. Not The Onion. My friends, this is real news. 12 camels were disqualified from Saudi Arabia beauty pageant for using Botox. The contest is held at the King Abdulaziz Camel Festival in Ramah, Saudi Arabia, according to Reuters. Camels are judged not only on their size and hump, but also their droopy lip and large features. This, to me, honestly, sounds like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Their size and hump, but their droopy lip. Well, anyway, you can use your imaginations. Now, the USA Today goes on to explain that that's why some cheaters turn to Botox and fillers to enhance the camel's features. They use Botox for the lips, the nose, the upper lips, the lower lips, and even the jaw, says the son of a top Emirati breeder. So when the camel comes, it's like, oh, look how big that head is. It has big lips and big nose. This sounds, honestly, like the Santa Monica dating scene. Anyway, you can't make this stuff up. This is absolutely real. Now, on a serious note, I keep postponing this, and I mean to say it. We have great show news today. I found out about this right here in the studio. Our, most important VIP member of the Sam Nation team, Missy Abraza, her son, John Bertain, has been nominated for an Academy Award. Missy, congratulations. This is so cool. This is so exciting. So he is the co-writer, editor, art director of Icarus. It's a movie about the Russian doping scandal. This is timely because, of course, the American gymnastics program right now is disassembling before us on the heels of this guilty plea and sentencing of Larry Nassar, the pervert doctor who's going to jail, going to prison forever. But this is interesting because the Russians deny this is the Russian doping scandal is all about Russian denials. And I suspect some members of the Academy just saw Russian in there and were quick. Yes, yes, we want to know about Russia. But, this is but maybe, maybe Missy, I don't know. Do you think John would do a documentary on camel Botoxing? Because I think there's some real muckraking that that needs to occur there. We need there's some inauthentic humps in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere. Anyway, John, congratulations, Missy. You must be so proud. I know that as a parent, you're. I imagine I'm so proud in what my kids do now at 4 and 7 and 10. And I imagine that there's nothing greater for a parent than to watch your kid grow up and become an adult. And for them to continue to do great things. This, by the way, is our true wealth. When we move away from Nancy Pelosi and her $1,000 breadcrumbs for the middle class, the true wealth in life is are our children and family and friends and the support of those around us that we love. So this is all very, very great stuff. I'll tell you, I'm so excited. John Bertain, up for an Academy Award, the son of our very own Missy Abraza. Very, very exciting. So check it out. If you haven't seen it, Icarus, and it's on the Russian doping scandal. Listen, this is it. I mean, we've just charged through these 2 hours. I know it feels like just moments went by, but here we are. We've actually covered quite a lot of ground. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7, Friday night, give you a week roundup, and there's going to be a lot going on with Davos and immigration and the like. So tune in tomorrow night at 7. I will be here with the team, and we are here to serve you, our faithful listeners. Thank you for everything. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Sam Nation is brought to you by attorney Sweet James Bergener.